We will be reading the chapter 22, Krishna steals the garments of the unmarried gopis. Purport. The word Hemanta refers to the month of Margashirsha, from approximately the middle of November to the middle of December, according to the Western calendar. In volume 1, chapter 22 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments that the gopis first ate havishyana, a kind of food prepared by boiling together mung dal and rice without any spices or turmeric. According to Vedic injunction, this kind of food is recommended to purify the body before one enacts a ritualistic ceremony. There's also a chapter summary, and it's quite nice, so we will read it. This chapter describes how the marriageable daughters of the cowherd men worship Katyayani to get Lord Sri Krishna as their husband, and how Krishna stole the garments of the young girls and gave the girls benedictions. During the month of Margashirsha, every day early in the morning, the young daughters of the cowherds would take one another's hands, and singing of Krishna's transcendental qualities, go to the Yamuna to bathe. Desiring to obtain Krishna as their husband, they would then worship the goddess Katyayani with incense, flowers, and other items. One day, the young gopis left their garments on the shore as usual and began playing in the water while chanting of Lord Krishna's activities. Suddenly, Lord Krishna came there, took away all the garments, and climbed a nearby kadamba tree. Wanting to tease the gopis, Krishna said, "I understand how fatigued you gopis are from your austerities, so please come onto the shore and take back your clothes." The gopis then pretended to become angry and said, "The cold water of the Yamuna was giving them great pain. If Krishna did not give them back their garments," they said, "they would inform King Kamsa of all that had happened. But if he did give the clothes back, they would willingly carry out his orders in the mood of humble servants." Sri Krishna replied that he had absolutely no fear of King Kamsa, and that if the girls really intended to follow his command and be his maidservants, they should each immediately come onto the shore and take their respective garments. The girls, trembling from the cold, climbed out of the water with their two hands covering their private parts. Krishna, who felt great affection for them, again spoke, "Because while executing a vow you bathed in the water naked, you have committed an offense against the demigods, and to counteract it you should offer obeisances with joined palms. Then your vow of austerity will achieve its full result." The gopis followed this instruction, and folding their hands in respect, offered obeisances to Sri Krishna. Satisfied, he gave them back their clothing. for the young girls had become so attracted to him that they could not leave. Understanding their minds, Krishna said that he knew they had worshipped Kātyayani to get him as their husband. Because they had offered their hearts to him, their desires would never again become tainted by the mood of materialistic enjoyment. Just as fried barley corns can no longer grow into shoots. Next autumn, he told them, their most cherished desire would be fulfilled. Then the gopis, fully satisfied, returned to Braj, and Sri Krishna and his cowherd friends went off to a distant place to graze the cows. Sometimes later, when the boys felt disturbed by the great heat of summer, they took shelter at the base of a tree that stood just like an umbrella. The Lord then said that the life of a tree is most excellent. For even while feeling pain, a tree continues to protect others from heat, rain, snow, and so on. With its leaves, flowers, fruits, shade, roots, bark, wood, fragrance, sap, ashes, pulp, and sprouts, a tree fulfills the desires of everyone. This kind of life is ideal. Indeed, said Krishna, the perfection of life is to act with one's vital energy, wealth, intelligence, and words for the benefit of others. After the Lord had glorified the trees in this way, the entire company went to the Jamuna, where the cowherd boys let the cows drink the sweet water and also drank some themselves. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare The young unmarried gopis only wanted Krishna to be their husband. And with this in mind, they worshipped the Lord of their hearts. Jiva Goswami explains that explains to us the situation of the society at that time. The gopis were actually promised or married at a quite young age to other husbands, like it was custom at this time. But they were still so young and stayed at the houses of their parents. The parents regularly prepared them that the time would come when they would have to leave their homes and come to their young husbands' homes, where they would be trained gradually to become good wives. The gopis, however, dreaded this day, because in their minds they only wanted to marry Krishna, no one else, although they were strictly speaking already, you know, planned to be given away, leaving the house and marry. They're very young. The day came where the day approached, I should say, where they would have to leave their homes to go to the homes of others. Now, during this time, they did make this very nice puja to Goddess Kadyayani, where they prayed really to the goddess to receive Lord Krishna as the husband and nobody else. They used to do this every in the winter season when it was little cold. They would go down to the Yamuna and then take a ice cold shower in the not shower bath in the Yamuna. We can just imagine how they were going down singing of Krishna, Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala, Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala. If you want, I have a recording of the ladies of Braj singing. You know, they clap their hands. Usually they have big clay pots with water on their heads, they balance, and then they go singing down to the Yamuna side. So Krishna was there. When they were just bathing, undressed in the water, and when they came out and looked for their clothes, they saw Lord Govinda in the on the branch of a kadamba tree, having all their beautiful clothings either on his arms or distributed on the high branch of course. They immediately went back into the water and stayed in the water, because the water supplied a cover to them. But then Krishna told them that if they want to get back their clothings, they would first have to come one by one and collect them. So naturally the shy gopis covered themselves with their arms and hands as good as it was possible for them. But Krishna was talking with them and said, due to having committed an offense against the demigod, they would now have to fold their palms above their head, which would mean for the gopis to avoid all the covering and stand before the Lord of their hearts in an entirely in a way free from all dress. And they were hesitant to do that, but because they loved Krishna so much, they did so on his request, and they in this way became the women or the wives of Lord Krishna in spirit, because the woman is only appearing in an undressed way before her husband. not before anyone else. Now this Leela, I would like to say three things about it. The first thing is that we all should understand that the gopis really were expansions of Lord Krishna. They were not something else than just being expanded from the Lord. So the Lord, seeing these gopis, we should not feel that this is something unbecoming. No, Krishna, like Prabhupada has once said, when a little boy sometimes feels playful, he plays before the mirror images in a mirror. The mirror image is nothing else than the boy, really. It's a reflection, technically speaking. So in the same way, all the gopis are expansions of Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani is the other half of Krishna. There's nothing unbecoming, really, in all of this. It's the Lord playing with his reflection. The second point, and here we enter a little more deep, is a meaning from this Leela. When we go before our Lord, we should go without any coverings or masks of the ego. Just like the gopis appeared in a way where they were free from all coverings, when the devotee approaches his Lord, he should do so without the general coverings which we are covering our personality. So because many of you are tired, I will now tell you a story about this, which will make you faint and which will make you awake. Hare Krishna. Is this all right? This is called preaching according to time, place and circumstances. Once there was a princess, a beautiful princess. When her 18th birthday arrived, she was requested to recite poetry before the best poets of the country. And as the birthday came to a halt, to an end, she was dancing with her with the prince of the neighboring country. Yes, there were rumors that she found her mush. Mush means husband. It's a Serbian word. When she went finally to bed, it was the time when most of you went to bed yesterday. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. She was happy as she laid down, but only for a short time was she happy. Her most existentially challenging experience was about to happen. She heard a voice. Let me free! Let me free! Who was this voice? She quickly jumped out of her bed, looked underneath the bed to see if there was someone trapped or if there was someone. But no one was there. The call, however, came again. Let me free. Finally, I beg you, let me free. She thought maybe someone is trapped down in the cellar of the building. and went down, but there was no one there. And then she went up again, trying to rest, but again the voice was there. Let me free. Finally, let me free. She said, who are you that is calling me? And the answer came, I'm yourself. What? I am myself. There is no other self than me. And the answer came back, no, young princess, what you think is yourself is only one of your many masks. You understand what is a mask? No? A mask is something which you put on, like for instance yesterday in the theater play, there was one devotee who had the mask of Nandi the bull. It's a mask. You understand mask? Yes. What you think is yourself is only one of your many masks. And I will call upon you. But she kept on hearing this disturbing call, let me free. Finally, totally exhausted, she fell down next to the to a ruin. That's another difficult word. What is a ruin? It's the remnants of a broken down building. And fell asleep. Now, as she was resting, she had a dream. A very disturbing dream. I will not help you to analyze this dream. You will have to analyze it yourself. It's a very psychological dream. She saw a huge building from the inside. And in this building, she saw different staircases which resembled a spinal cord. Then she saw the upper part of a building, which was really two windows and one gate. It looked exactly like a head with two eyes and a mouth. And then as she looked down to the place where the staircases started, she saw a luminous being. And this being was sitting, I will have to show you this because I can't explain it in English well. Let me just arrange my dhoti in a proper way here. This being was sitting like this. It was full of light. It had a painful expression in its eyes, and there was a chain, a heavy, unbreakable chain which bound her. And for a minute or so, or half a minute, or was it only 25 seconds, the eyes of this person met with the eyes of the princess, and the person shouted, let me free! Dream broke, and the princess looked into the rising morning sun. The bushes parted, and before her came a sadhu out of the forest. The sadhu asked, have you heard the call? Tomorrow I will not ask you, do you want to be this person? Today, I will not ask you, do you want to be this? I will ask you, who are you? And if you can give the right answer, you are free. If you cannot give the right answer, we will have to start all over again. But this time it will be much more difficult. Maybe you will not make it. She looked, and there was a very nice face, a princess face. All of a sudden, however, the water moved, and she looked so ugly, ugly, and so mean, and so absolutely evil. And from her eyes, many, many faces came, more and more and more and more. She could see herself in her previous lives, acting as a conditioned soul. Chandrashika, this is now important. You will need your attention. She could see her many, many faces and her many, many illusions about herself, all at once coming out in an unending stream of faces. Oh. Then she heard the voice of the sadhu. Princess, give the answer now. Who are you? She couldn't answer. She was totally bewildered by the vision. But as she looked, she heard from deep down inside a voice. First, it was a very small voice, maybe like the small light of a candle. But this voice was becoming louder and louder, almost like a candle grows when it is just lit. And she heard the voice of herself. I am a servant. I am an eternal servant of Krishna. With this, the face exploded. She became all wet. Or was it her tears? Her tears of recognition, which made her face wet. And she understood, I am a servant of Krishna. The sadhu was clearly impressed and moved, and he said, bravo, bravo, you have made it. You have realized yourself as an eternal servant of Krishna. Now, he said, whenever you meet someone who has heard the voice, let me free, finally, let me free, then you have to do what I did for you. Help them. My dear devotees, this is a little story from our tradition, which tells you a little bit what it means to stand before our Lord. To stand naked before our Lord means really you have to give up the masks of the false ego. Hare Krishna. And this is required when you enter the deity room and you are trained by the pujaris, you will learn that you have to do a little meditation, which I would like to recommend you in your daily lives. It is called the Bhuta Shuddhi meditation. Bhuta means material elements, and Shuddhi means purity from. When you go on the altar, you don't go with your masks. I am the great Swami. I am the great Mridanga player. I am the temple commander or whatever. You go actually free from your identifications on the deity altar, just knowing I am an insignificant little part of the Lord who has obtained a wonderful opportunity by the mercy of his spiritual master to render some menial service. No? So I would recommend this type of meditation also when you take your darshan. Become free of your masks. The masks may serve us to obtain different things in this world, but when you come before the Lord, you must discard them. You must put them away. And this little meditation, the Buddha Shuddhi meditation, can help you to stand before the Lord in the identity of a servant, an eternal servant. I really feel when we read Shastra, like today, we read about the gopis whom the Lord wished to see uncovered, we should apply this very great secret of this very intimate Leela in a way which is relevant and practical for us. The Lord wants us also uncovered, but uncovered by ego, by the masks which are produced by the ego. Do you know what the Sanskrit word ahankara or ego implies? Let us for a moment try to be Sanskrit scholars. There is ahang, I, and kara means to do or to make. Ahankara or the ego is the eye maker. He makes the masks which cover the soul. Inside of us, we have our own theater costume factory. Do you understand my somewhat awkward English? It's a factory which produces masks or theater dresses. This is the Ahankara factory, the factory of the false ego, who always produces one mask or role after the other. Hare Krishna! And we may not like it, but we are often dressed by this, and then we do have difficulties. So when we stand before the Lord, or before the devotees, we should very happily stand uncovered by the tricks or the productions, the newest productions of the false ego. Hare Krishna. So now I have reached the time. I'm very, very sorry that some of you were tortured this morning because you had a minimum amount of rest. Please rest sufficiently, and please I want to say I feel very, very happy to sit in this temple which has elements of the Austrian-Hungarian style. It's a wonderful temple, and I want to congratulate you from my heart for this most beautiful festival which you have put up. It was really, I saw the tent city as a huge net, a mercy net, in which the conditioned souls were caught in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful arrangement. And I saw many people getting caught in the net of mercy. This is what I saw with my own eyes. So I'm very, very awed, if not inspired, by the devotees who put up this tremendous amount of organization. Swarup Damodar Prabhu, he told me that there is a very well-trained crew who each one knows what to do and what how to peel the potato in the most efficient way or how to arrange the security or how to arrange for a loudspeaker system. It was also an impressive system. It was quite loud and hearable. We could hear almost, yes, we could hear everything very nicely. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, C.C. Gonitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.